Hi, welcome to another interview with GivingCirclesHelp.com. This is Sharon Lipinski, and today I'm interviewing Diana Katz. She is a founding member of the Giving Circle of Hope. Their Giving Circle was founded in 2004. She was also the chair of the Grant Circle for the first 5 years, and she's going to have lots of great information to share with us on their grant cycle. But first, Diana, welcome. Thank you so much for participating today.
Thank you for having me.
Could you start by telling us a little bit about your giving circle and your mission?
Our giving circle, the Giving Circle of Hope, started in 2004. It came out of our original little lunches that we wrote checks and gave them away to whatever our favorite charity was. And at some point, we decided that we should do something a little more formal. And we came across the concept of giving circles. And so four of us got together and defined sort of a loose mission of we want to help people in need in Northern Virginia, and we want to teach people how educate people about giving locally and strategically. And so four of us got together. Within 2 months, we did a big presentation and invited everybody we knew, and out of that, we slowly grew from four members to over 100 we are today. It varies every year, so we just go, we're somewhere between 100 and 150. We started the first year by just awarding grants with whatever money we had at the time. The first year we gave 5 grants for $25,000, and now we have over the last year giving over $350,000 in the community. Our mission is to help people in need in Northern Virginia. What our goals were to make a difference in our community by contributing our time and our talent and our money. We had been volunteers for a long time and fundraisers. This time we wanted to be different. We wanted to be giving money. We wanted to encourage our community and get to know more people. We wanted to promote volunteerism. We wanted to promote effective philanthropy. And we wanted to build a big network, connect with other people in Northern Virginia that were doing wonderful things in the community. We wanted to connect those so that we could be more effective. The way we did that was starting by getting to know the nonprofit community, and we did that as we started getting applications. So actually, probably better to just, do you want me to talk more about the grants process itself,
Yeah,
or
that's a
how
great
we
idea
did?
because you're entering right now into your grant cycle, and this is your seventh cycle, is that?
Yeah, this is probably our eighth cycle.
Eighth cycle.
Yeah, I'm, to tell you the truth, not sure, seven or eight.
So, yeah, why don't you give us a kind of an idea of what you'll be going through? What does your grant cycle look like?
This is what our grant cycle looks like. Starting in June, we put out press releases and put on our website that we are opening the grant cycle, that we are accepting applications. We have a very short application that is posted on our website or that people can request from us. We post that out, and then our deadline used to be September 1, it's now August 15th. We have a deadline. People send us their applications. Then we have a small group, which we call the Grant Subcircle, that receives them, screens, make sure everything is complete, and that's what we're doing right now. And then we meet and go over how many we have, how many people need to be part of the process so that it's easy. Members that contribute money to the Giving Circle are the ones that decide where the money goes to. So anybody that is a member of the Giving Circle and that contributes money can become part of the Grand Circle. From the 100 members or 130 members, about 30 to 35 usually participate in the Grand Circle process.
So it could theoretically expand to include the entire membership if everybody wanted it.
It could.
You don't limit it, the size.
We do not limit it. No, whoever wants to be part of the process can be part of the process. There's always work to do. And people can choose to work. And that's another one of our, qualities is that you can just write a check. Or you can be as involved as you want to. And for some of us, this is almost a full-time job. And some of us write a check. And that is perfectly fine with us. So when we put a call out for grants, we also put a call out for Grand Circle members. And everybody comes together now. We will have an orientation. This is what the process is going to be this year. This is the dates. These are the dates of our meetings. This is where we're going to meet. As I said before to you, we really have a thing about respecting people's time. So depending on how many applications we get, we schedule 3 or 4 meetings. The meetings start at 7 o'clock in the evening. They end at 9 o'clock in the evening. We do not chat. We do the work. And what we come to do is, once the applications are screened, a Grand Circle member or members gets assigned an application or two. They go off, they read it, they come back to a meeting where we all sit around at a board table, and each person has 5 minutes to present a summary of the application. They follow a format that we have defined. And the group asks questions and then scores that application according to a scoring sheet that we have devised. It follows our goals and our mission. You know, it reflects our values, the scoring sheet.
Can you give me an example of, like, one category that you score and, like, how you would – is it like a scale of 1 to 10 or –
right now we just changed it. So the last few years we have changed, we have used the score. It was, 100, and it was, do these people, how are they, is this application, is the project that they have submitted for funding, is it compatible with our goal and missions? What is the project's purpose? How many people does it serve? Does it serve people in Northern Virginia? How is the project implementation? Is it reasonable? Is it doable? Is the budget reasonable? Are there outcomes? Can we tell what the outcomes are? So those are the, the general subjects that are in the evaluation form.
So you're looking at a project, and you're just like, okay, what is the budget on this? And then,
what is the need? Is there a project? Is the need for the project? Does it make a positive impact? Does it address an unmet need?
And if I'm looking at this project as a rater, and I say, yes, actually, there's a very strong match between this project and our mission, so I'm going to rate it. Is it just yes or no? Is it a scale?
Right now, it had been the project, it was 10 points for that out of the 100.
Okay.
Is it consistent with our mission? Right now, it's going to be, as of this year, and our members, this will be new for them this year, is going to be 0 to 3.
Okay.
Where 0 is no, it's not consistent, and with 3, it is excellent. So it's going to be one of these no, minimally adequate, or excellent.
Okay.
We're hoping, and that is going to be, instead of 100 points, we're narrowing it a little bit to so it's about 60 points, so that we can get more focus with the scores.
It also seems like that would be easier for people to rank because they can just say, yeah, kind of, or a lot,
Yes.
and it might be easier for people to actually scale
That is
things.
what we, that's what we have decided over the years, because we didn't want this, we wanted to be a little more objective, so we wanted to narrow it down. So besides the purpose of the project, we have the need of the project. Is there a need for it? The design of the project, does it meet the need in a creative or innovative way? Is it modeled on a program of proven effectiveness? Are the objectives specific? Are they measurable?
Mm-hmm.
Is the implementation plan well developed? Is it reasonable? Is it doable? And then when we go up to the budget, is the budget specific, realistic? If we give them the money, does that leverage other funding? Is this project, I mean, is the Giving Circle funding, is it very important to the project? Because, you know, you want to have a good bang for your buck. So that was one of the thoughts behind that. And then we also, if the grant, if your organization had received a grant from us originally, previously, how did they perform for that? Because what we decided is we give the way we narrowed down our focus of giving, because we had to narrow it down somehow, was we give to organizations that help people in need in Northern Virginia. So that makes them local. We also made them so that their budget was under $2 million, because our grants were a maximum of $5,000. And for them to have impact, the organization needs to be small for $5,000. Mm-hmm. Turns out we have been, for several organizations, we were the first funding they ever received. And that has given us great pleasure, because it gets them that start and then they fly. And for others, we are a major part of their budget, or they have been able to go from, if we're their first grant that they have received, they can go to others and say, well, the Giving Circle of Hope gave us this grant, and will you, you know, it gives them credibility
uh-huh.
when they have received money from somebody else. So now after we score the grant, so getting back to that, to the grant process. After we have presented the grants, everybody looks at their scores, they submit them to a small group, we average those out, and then every member of the grant circle writes a one-page summary about the grant they presented. It includes, you know, a very brief summary of what the grant applicant wants and what they want to do with it. It also does the pros and cons that came up in the discussion of the grant circle. Then we add the average score that we just came up with, and we send that to all the members via email. So the members know to expect at the end of October this big email with a one-page summary of each application, and at this point we receive from 30 to 40 applications every year, and they read them. They have a ballot that is included in that email, and then we come together at a meeting, usually in the beginning of November, and we vote
mm-hmm.
For the top, you know, for our favorites. What we do is, in October, which is the end of our year, we add up all the money that we have in the fund, in the grant giving fund, and we tell people, okay, this year we can fund 12. So vote for 12.
So
and the members, so
are all your grants in like $5,000 blocks? Are they ever less than that? Does an organization
most of them
request?
Are 5,000.
Okay.
The maximum they can get is $5,000. So most people request $5,000.
Okay.
Every so often we'll get one that's for two or $2,500 or whatever. Mostly they're for $5,000. So mostly we have been able to give 12, maybe 13 grants in a year. And So the members vote for 12, and that's the top 12. The next day, they know that they're getting $5,000. Now, and the checks are dispersed pretty quickly. After we vote and we announce the grants, then we do some press releases, but pretty soon after, we have a big quote-unquote party. We call it the grantee celebration, and we invite all the grantees to come and have a table and display their wares, talk about, they send representatives, so they send their executive director or some members of the board come, and our members and the community at large is invited. And that way, these people can, our members can meet them and see where their money is going and see, you know, get that personal touch. And at the same time, those organizations can expand the reach into the community. So it is a twofold thing. In addition to that, they get to meet each other, and many times they get to network and see that, you know, my mission supplements your mission in this way, so they start working together. And that, of course, then goes back to our mission of, building a network that is catalyst for positive change. If the grantees themselves get to know each other and our members get to know each other, you'd be surprised how much that increases the way our members volunteer. Sometimes a member has had a favorite grant applicant that for some reason does not get funded, and they have funded them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it, knowing, getting to have that personal connection with the members of the, you know, of the organization that you funded really makes a difference in how you continue to give. So not only are the people giving through the giving circle, but they're also ending up volunteering at some of the grantees, or they are funding extra, you know, giving them extra money. So that is, you know, so it's a cycle that goes, that just keeps increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been really happy with the results of that. The other thing we do is we have four quarterly meetings. We have four meetings over the year. And at each meeting, we invite a grantee to come and speak to the members.
Okay.
And
that was recently chosen in the last grant cycle? Usually.
That was with it. Well, you know what? Because we only have four meetings, and we have 12 grantees every year, we're always trying to catch up.
Yeah.
But we try to give the recent ones the priority. And that way, they come and tell us, okay, this is how we used your money. They are encouraged to bring a client or somebody that they serve to talk about what impact that organization had on their life. So that way we connect with those people that are the ultimate recipients too.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a wonderful experience itself. So, you know, it's like the grant, that meeting of Grant Circle and that grant process, which is very formalized, in our case, and it doesn't have to be. We know other giving circles do not do it that way, but ours is. So we have a very formalized process, but we then make it very personal.
Mm-hmm.
as it grows, as it evolves, by inviting everybody to do, you know, to come speak to us. And that is pretty much the grant process that we developed. I mean, a lot of work goes into it behind the scenes, but to the members at large, it is, you know, they receive this big email and they read it through and they vote. Like,
mm-hmm.
Reading the newspaper with all the candidates, and then you vote.
Right.
The members that participate in the grant circle, get a lot more out of it because they really learn about everybody in a little more detail. And they are encouraged to go visit the applicant or talk to them on the phone, or, you know, it's do a little research on where their facilities are. Do they have facilities? How do they work this? Because what we found, we fund projects. And so a very good organization has submitted an application for a project. It's not so great.
Mm-hmm.
And an organization that is fledgling and just starting can submit an application for a project that is really great. So it really is important for us to go and get a feel for the organization itself, in addition to then judging the project.
And so when you're trying to get a feel for the organization, what are things that you're looking at?
We're looking at, you know, efficiency. Where are they? How do they connect with the people they serve? Do we look at their budget? Do, you know, what is their overhead? Are these people using their money effectively and efficiently? And in one of the things we found out that really cannot be measured is the executive director of an organization really makes a difference.
So do you interview them or speak with them?
We talk to them.
Okay.
We talk to them. And usually in these, because the organizations we fund, because their budget is small, they usually only have an executive director and maybe a few other employees.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe have a program director. They maybe have somebody that does business development, or, you know, that does a grant, but mostly they do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in interviewing the executive director and getting to know them makes a big difference. And you see some of those dynamic ones that really can get you to want to go help them. Those are the ones that make the money go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that really believe in what they're doing.
Now imagine over a 7-year period that your grant process has kind of evolved over time. So I want to point out some of the things that I think are conceptually really important to what you guys are doing that anybody can do, you know, at any point in time in their giving circle, and just know that, you know, you're constantly adapting. One thing that you guys have done is you've been very clear that you want your donation to make an impact. And for you, you guys have defined that as it's local and it's a small organization that's funding a project. And that's how you guys have defined it. And then you have created these criteria that help you measure that impact so that you can get a feel for, you know, this project compared to this project, which one is going to make a bigger impact. And I think those are two great kind of fundamental guiding principles that have helped you develop the system.
Yes. And one of the things that is difficult about that is to measure that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are two things you can do. You can help people that are in immediate need. For example, we have organizations that do the basic human services, like they help you with the food, they help you with paying your electricity that's going to be shut off, they help you pay the rent. Okay? So, and those are immediate needs that are, and some of the organizations are really good at doing that. And then there are the others that, you know, that old saying that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So there are the projects that actually teach people to fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a long-term impact on the life of the people they serve because they help them learn a new job. They help them, they retrain them, or they help them with the life skills like banking and funding and managing money. So, and so that those have a long-term impact on the people. And so you have, what we have in the end is a really tough decision to make. Do we know people need immediate help, and we know we would like to make a difference in the community, and to make the difference in the community, you have to fund things that have a vision and a long-term impact. So we have funded in the last 7 years both, because some people prefer the immediate and some people prefer the long-term, and we leave that to our members mm-hmm. with their votes to decide how they do that. Mm-hmm. But we try to present both of those things, and the founders, we have a passion for that long-term impact. So we have organizations, for example, there's a Computer Core and Impact Women International and Just Neighbors. They're organizations that really help people to get on with their lives, to mm-hmm. go from where they are now to the next step. And they're very inspirational when they have come to talk to us. And then there are the people who serve, we were going to be evicted, and this organization helped us pay the rent, and therefore we didn't lose our home. So there,
But the nice thing is you present them and you allow your membership to have that input too. Giving circles are, about the members as well.
That's right. The members, if you join a giving circle, it's because you want your money to have more impact. Because together, when a giving circle in its basic form, it is people who want to put their money together and together decide how to give it away, mm-hmm. right? So the founders, we did a lot of work to provide a structure where the members can come and just with very little time, in a very simple way, decide, put their input onto where the money goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they read this long document once, and they vote, and that is their voice. And no matter how much, actually, the Giving Circle of Hope, the way we work is your minimum donation is $365 a year, a dollar a day. We wanted to keep it affordable. People give $365, or people give much more than that. It doesn't matter. You have one vote, no matter how much money you put in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, it's a very equalizing thing. And everybody's vote counts the same way. And so the group decides. And sometimes the founders have not gotten their favorites to be funded, and most of the time we do. But that's okay, because right. it is the voices of the group
right.
that matters to us.
Absolutely.
And we have structured the grants process so that the values that we hold dear are being included in that
right.
evaluation process. So,
Janet, do you have any advice for people who are just starting out in a giving circle and they're working on, how they're going to give away their money? Any advice for people who are just starting out?
If you're just starting out, you really want to think about how you want the money to be used. And so you really have to be clear to your members. And so it's like you have to really think first, what is it that we want to do with this? We have seen, and actually some of our members are part of other giving circles. And for example, there's a member that had, there are eight of them, in a group, their giving circle. And all they do is find three or four organizations that they know about, and they look into them, and they learn a little bit more about them. They sometimes use our data that we have come up with,
mm-hmm.
and they just sit around and talk about it and come to a consensus and give away the money. And that takes you, you know, maybe a couple of hours in an evening over dinner or over a couple of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in itself is enough to do it. You just have to know and attract the people that are like-minded so that you don't have a lot of conflict. You want to make it so that it is a, for lack of a better word, a high-minded thing. I think that is one of the reasons that the Giving Circle has been so successful. We were very clear in what our goals were. We all knew that we wanted to make a difference. We all knew that we wanted to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew that we wanted to promote self-sufficiency in the people we helped. We knew that we wanted to encourage community. So everything went around, was built around the goals. So I think the first advice I would have is sit and really think about your goals and define them well. And when you do that, the people that are attracted are going to be attracted around those goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, everything sort of falls into place, because depending on how many people you have, you may need to have a formal, define a formal process, or you may be able to have a very informal one.
Mm-hmm. And then probably
defining
start.
Defining goals is really important.
Yeah, and then start informal to get started, and then, you know, adapt as you need it.
Yes, because I think those of us who started the Giving Circle of Hope, we already knew each other. We had been working in PTAs for 12 years before we actually started the Giving Circle. We already knew each other's strengths and weaknesses in as far as professionally, because we had worked together. So we didn't have a learning curve to see who can do this what best.
Mm-hmm.
We already knew that. So we were able to use our strengths to build the Giving Circle to be stronger. That is something that may not be possible for people that are starting a Giving Circle, because they're new friends or they're, you know, they may just coworkers. But in any case, you want to build it around the goals. And then you can decide how informal or formal you want to be. We had a really funny thing that happened one time. We had a grantee that came to speak at one of our meetings. And when we explained to them what we did and how we did it, he says, "Well, so you're Giving Circle on steroids." Because we had bylaws and we had all these, you know, formal project, you know, all this formal process to go through this, and not everybody does that. The other thing that made us different, and I know that you will be interviewing one of our other members, Linda Straub, we also do service. Most Giving Circles do not do that. Most
mm-hmm.
Giving Circles just put their money together and give it away.
Right.
We also do service for the organizations that we grant, and even some that we don't. Some that are too big. For example, in our community, there's a big organization called Resident Interfaith. Its budget is well over $2 million. We serve in their homeless shelter. We have a group that goes there to do work. We have a group, you know, so
mm-hmm.
there's many different ways to serve in your community. A Giving Circle is one way that you can learn and make impact, because I think in the end, the Giving Circle, the benefit to you as a member is not only that you have given money to help others, but that you learn about the needs in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you learn about the needs in your community, you want to give more, and that more is your time,
mm-hmm.
or that more can be your talent. You know what? I personally am bilingual, so it is very easy for me to go and help those organizations that need a Spanish speaker. I am also a computer person, so it is easy for me to go and also help those that need some kind of technical, something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you can then see what the needs are, and you know what your talent is, so that you can offer that. It's a great way to find that match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking with Linda more in depth about how you organize it. I can certainly see the value in it. Diana, is there anything that I didn't ask you or that we didn't cover that you would like to talk about and share with everybody?
I don't know. It is in the being in the grants process, which is really what I wanted to cover. One of the things that we really want to keep in mind when we're doing this is always have that the goal is to serve and to help others. So if you do that, you want to keep the process evolving so that it meets the needs of not only the organizations that you are serving or looking to help, but also of the members that are part of the Giving Circle. Our motto in the Giving Circle of Hope is fun with a purpose.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So we enjoy our quarterly meetings. We always do something a little fun, and then we have a speaker, and then we have a little more fun. Most of us are women. We do have some male members, but most of us are women, and women like to do things in a cooperative way.
Mm-hmm.
Women are the ones that are deciding where charitable money goes in the community. So we wanted to attract that. They're the ones that are making those decisions. Professional women are out there. They don't just write checks. They want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, you always have to have that in the back of your mind. How is it that I want to make a difference? How do I stay with that goal? And keep evolving. The Giving Circle has changed every year a little something. We didn't want a structure that was formal and rigid. We wanted something that flowed and that was always fun. I don't think we would ever give it up, because it has been such a wonderful learning experience that not only, I think we receive more than we have given.
Mm, I love that. And I hope someday to be able to say the same things about my giving circles. Thank you, Diana, so much for sharing this in-depth information about your great process.
You're very welcome. And at any time, if somebody wants to learn more or has more questions, we are always reachable at our website, givingcircleofhope.org, and we are always willing to help people and answer questions.
And just another example of how you continue giving. It's part of who you are, and it doesn't just stop at your giving circle. You're always looking to help more people and in different ways. So thank you for that generous offer, and I will put your website up. And again, thank you sincerely for all of this wonderful information.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.